I was determined to make sure of one thing, that I wouldn't let Peggy get into trouble for my sake. Only one way to prevent it came to mind. Peggy would have to decide on her own to stay out of the Corydon and Macular cases. I would just have to help her reach that decision. I didn't like it, but there seemed no other choice. I called Peggy from Mrs. O'Brien's. Using the phone was cowardly, but it was also a safeguard. I didn't believe what I was going to say, and I didn't want my face to give away what I really felt. She picked up the phone on the second ring and saying, "Hello, Peggy, this is Mickey." "Oh, I'm glad you called. I had an idea." "No, no more ideas," I snapped. There was silence on her end. Then, in close to the same tone that Tyler had used on me, I poured it on slowly and emphatically. "No more investigating. No more following people. Nothing. That's man's work. Playing detective is no kind of thing for a girl to be doing." There, I'd said it. Scarcely a word was said in either House or Senate, and for 40 days the American people and the American Congress waited in silence for the verdict of the Board of Naval Officers, who had been appointed to report on the destruction of the Maine. To those who understood the American people, this grim silence, this stern self-control, were more threatening than any words of sorrow or of anger could possibly have been. Spain, rushing ignorantly, arrogantly on her doom, understood nothing. A generous sympathy, a prompt offer to make every reparation, while she disclaimed all guilt, and she could have turned the current of feeling and gone far to save herself and her colonies. Instead of that, with incredible stupidity and utter meekness of soul, she announced, before anyone had even looked at the wreck, that the ship was blown up from the inside, owing to the carelessness of the American officers.